The Holy Ghost has been talking since the opening words of praise and worship. Holy Ghost has been talking. And I hope you've been paying attention. Glory to God. God is good. Say sweatless victory. Say it again. Say I have sweatless victory. Ooh, oh my. Glory to God. Ooh, I'm telling you. Let me read this. I'm going to read it so we have it on tape, but let's listen to this. Sweat means to manipulate or produce by hard work or drudgery. What do they say in Spanish? Nada. Nada. No. Not me. Why? Because we have sweatless victory. Who did the work? Jesus did. He came to this earth and he did what? He defeated the devil. He spoiled principalities. All I have to do is go pick up the spoil and take it. I have sweatless work to do. I don't have to exert authority. Or not, I do have to exert authority, but I don't have to manipulate and I don't have to produce. He did it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, blessed me when I heard that. My God. It says to labor or exert oneself as to cause perspiration. Sweatless victory. We have the victory. We're not going to get it. We already have it. We're walking in something that God has already produced and paid the price for through His Son. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what Jesus did. Thank you for coming to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Thank you, Jesus, for spoiling principalities and powers, making an open show of them and triumphing over them in the cross. Thank you that you've given us the name of Jesus. Thank you that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And we thank you that we are overcomers in Him. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you for the direction of the Holy Ghost. Thank you that He guides and directs our thoughts, opens up and reveals the Word of God. And we thank you for the deposits of the Word of God in our hearts today. Thank you that it'll bring forth an abundant harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's read together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to read Psalm 119, 130. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Hallelujah. And I like the Holman Christian Standard. It says, the revelation of your words bring light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. In a sense, we're all inexperienced. And we need God's understanding and revelation in the Word of God so we can be successful. That's what the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, was sent. He gave us this Word. Well, if that's all we needed, why would we need the Holy Ghost to unfold and reveal the Word of God? We do. And it's an ever-changing thing. It's an ever-unfolding thing. We can read it today and pick it up tomorrow and see something, hear something that causes a change in how we see the Word of God, an understanding, a knowing. One of the things, as we're continuing in these messages on finances, faith for finances, or faith for prosperity, more specifically for prosperity, because prosperity is not only finances. But one of the things that the Holy Ghost put in my heart and spoke to me at the beginning of these messages was that we cannot please God without faith. It requires faith. And he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And at the beginning of that, it said, it's impossible to please him without faith. That means, what does impossible mean? What does that mean? Give it to me in Spanish now. What does that mean now? Imposible, that's right. It's impossible. Impossible. It's not possible. Not possible. You might say, well, you know, not possible to please God without faith. So that means everything that we do, faith works by love. And so, you know, one of the things that the Lord put in my heart Friday night, just take a second, if you would, and turn over to Colossians for a second. We'll jump in the message in a minute. We're not going to stay too long, and we're not going to leave too early. It's going to be just right. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Let me just share this particular scripture. First three verses. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And if you look in your margin, I believe some of the modern translations, they don't say affection, but in the King James, there's a different word that's used. It says mind. Set your mind on things above. Set your what? Your mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And it says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I really wasn't thinking, we had such a wonderful time Friday night in worship and prayer. But as we were closing, I heard this come up out of my spirit. He said, the reason what we're seeing, and not just now, but just through this time on earth here, the devil tries hard to get you over into the natural realm with your mind. Because once you get over there with your mind, you're in His playground. And what happens is it begins to affect, this is what the Holy Ghost said, He's after your soul. Because as your soul prospers, so do you. And what He does, He gets you over in the soulish realm, and this life that comes from here gets affected. And so what He's looking for is for us to get out into this earth, and the rivers of life, the rivers of love, flow out of this spirit to a hurting world that's in darkness. They're in darkness. We're not in darkness. We're children of the light. But see, He wants to get control of your mind so that you get over into His territory and playground, and it begins to affect how we operate. And so we're to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, this morning, I want to just touch on a few areas where finances are concerned. And I've entitled this, Your Authority in the, Our Authority in the Area of Finances. Let's turn over to Genesis for a moment. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And this is good to reflect on, because this is where it starts, right here, beginning of the book. If you look at verse 1, it says, in the beginning, who created the earth, heaven and the earth? God. God created the heaven and the earth. Now look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, who's them? That'd be mankind. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over what? All the earth. Say all the earth. Say, I have dominion over all the earth. And we'll show you how. And over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. Have it. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you it shall be meat, and so forth. It continues. So the Lord gave us dominion over all the works of His hands. He gave us dominion over all the works of His hands. Where are we reading this? In Genesis. Has that changed? Okay. Turn to Psalm 50. And look at verse 10 through 12. Psalm 50. It says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Whose? God's. And He put us in charge over, dominion over, gave us dominion. Well, you might say, well, if we have dominion and in God's in charge, we're in charge, it's a mess. Well, we know in Luke, let's turn over to Luke chapter 4. Just want to walk through this so we have, we walk through these thoughts again. Luke chapter 4 and starting in verse 5, and it says, and the devil, this is when the devil took him up in a high place, high mountain. And it said, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Oh, I thought God delivered it unto man. He did. He did. But Adam had a choice. And so you can see here that Adam committed treason. And he had a legal right to. What do I mean by that? He could make that choice. He was in charge. He didn't have a moral right, but he had a legal right. Just like you have a right to accept Christ as your Savior. And legally, you become born again. In other words, He paid for your sins, but if you don't accept Him, you'll be lost. That's what we read in John 3:17-18. So Adam committed high treason. And you could say, in a sense, Adam, at the beginning, was the god of this world, was he not? He was. Adam was the god of this world. But he forfeited that and gave that over to the devil. So he committed treason. So now who's the god of this world? Satan is. Well, where is that? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. I want everybody to look at it. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's talking about the devil now here. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we can see that God gave man dominion, Adam committed high treason, and Satan became the god of this world. Oh, but glory to God. Hallelujah. On the scene comes Jesus. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I want you to look at a couple of scriptures. Jesus is deity. But he came to this earth as a man. And in Philippians 2, verse 7, it says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So he put aside all of his God-like privileges and he became like us. So everything Jesus did on this earth, he did as a man, but sinless. But he was tempted, which is what I wanted to point out here. Luke 4, verse 2, it says, being 40 days, this was after he returned from the Jordan, and he was led by the, after he was baptized, led by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness. It says, being 40 days tempted. He was tempted of the devil. And I'll read this. This is, and you can write this down. Hebrews 4:15. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So he was tempted. He came to this earth tempted with the same things that we're tempted with. Now, let's go and let's look at John 15. John chapter 15. And let's look at verse 19. 15, 19. John 15, 19. One of the things that we have been given is authority in Christ. We're not going to get it. We have it if you are in Christ. You have authority. And once you came into Christ, you have authority just like Adam had authority. Like Jesus had authority. He was the second what? Adam. And when you became in Christ, same thing. Now you have restored to you authority in Christ over all things. You are not now to sweat. It's already been done. So our victory is sweatless. We don't have to labor to get something. Now we have to work. But when I say labor, I'm talking about the mental anxiety and things that people try to do to get something. You've been given dominion and authority over all things. John 15, 19, it says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We're not of this world. My life is hid in Christ. So I'm not subject now to this world system. I've been translated, I've been delivered out of darkness and translated into what? Another kingdom. So now I'm not subject to the rules of this world and the one who's over it. He's been stripped. His power and authority over us has been eradicated. But because He still is the God of this world. He keeps the world in blindness. So they don't know that they've already been delivered. That's what we're here for. We're here to do what? Let this river of life come out of us to share the good news of the gospel. We've been delivered. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. So we're to use our God-given authority to do what? Enforce Satan's defeat. To enforce it. Because if you don't, and you give him ground, he'll take it. Colossians 1:12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath." What does hath mean? Means it's already been done, doesn't it? Didn't say which is going to. It says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, or that word means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So that means you have an inheritance. Did you know that? I have an inheritance. What is that inheritance? Look at verse 13. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath." He's already done it. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, it's interesting, and sometimes we need to just, sometimes we read Scripture and we shout and we get excited, which is good. This particular Scripture verse, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." So darkness has power. What kind of power? What does that word mean? If you look up the Greek word, it means exousia. And that word means the ability or strength which with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises. So darkness exercises some authority. Why? Because they've been given dominion here in this earth through Adam. He turned it over to them. So they have a legal right to exercise some things here in the earth. But But Jesus translated us out of darkness. I mean, he delivered us from the power of darkness. We are not subject to their authority and strength. That's why when Jesus said, when he rose, he said, "All power in heaven and in earth, I hold the keys of hell and death." So that power, that authority has been broken here in this earth. But he still has a right. The devil and demons and evil spirits still have a right to exert that in the earth. The power also, exousia means the power of authority, influence, or the right of privilege. It means the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed, not me. Why? I've been delivered from that power. I've been delivered from that power. It has no power over me unless I give it power, unless I yield to it. But I've been delivered from that authority, from those commands that are exerted on those in darkness. I've been delivered. How about you? Say, I've been delivered from the power, the authority of darkness. I walk in the light. Hallelujah. Colossians 2, we're in Colossians 1. Colossians 2, starting in verse 13, it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him." He already did it. Hath he quickened. "Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it," the cross, or in himself. He spoiled. That means he disarmed them. That means he put to naught or reduced to nothing. So if they've been reduced to nothing, then where does that leave me? I'm an overcomer. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. Christ hath redeemed me, or redeemed us, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He was made a curse for us. Sweatless victory. Sweatless victory. I don't have to work for a victory. It's already been done. I just have to pick up the spoil. But I have to use my authority in Christ to do that. Because otherwise, the devil will tell you, you can't have this, you can't do this, you can't go there, you can't own this, you can't have it. But we've been given dominion over all things. First John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The he that is in the world has been brought to naught. He's defeated. He's been disarmed. He's spoiled. That means in my life, He has no authority. What did He do when He tempted Jesus? He said, if you just bow down and worship Me, I'll give you all of this. And what did Jesus say? You only worship the Lord God and Him only. And that's no different. He'll tempt us with things. And you give Him the same response. He's defeated. He's after, and this is why it's so important to keep this in mind, He's after and He plays in your thoughts. Because when He gets control, you'll yield to something. You're tempted, but you can respond the same way and let the Word of God, like a sword, come out of here. That's the life. That's the river of life. You let it come up and out and say, no, you won't. I'm not yielding to you. Be gone in Jesus' name. He's defeated. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 4, 5, and 6. It says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Look at this. Nor of the princes of this world that what? That what? That what? That come to nothing. They've been brought to naught. The devil is defeated. He's defeated in your life. You need to pick up the spoil. What spoil? Pick up the spoil of your healing. Pick up the spoil of finances. Pick up the spoil of freedom. No more shackles. No more chains. No more bondage. I am free. Freedom. What were we shouting? This is the year of Jubilee. I'm free. I'm free. No more shackles. Jesus paid for us to be free. Let's go over to Mark 11 for a moment. Mark 11. Here's how we exercise that authority. We've been given dominion and authority here in this earth. But our words are our faith speaking. When Jesus said, light be, was that faith speaking? Sure was. He spoke things into existence. So our words is our faith speaking. That's why it's important that what you think on is what you begin to believe, and what you believe you say, and what you say you put things in motion, and it becomes your destiny. Mark 11:22, And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For what? For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but what? But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So in this earth realm, everything, we know this, everything is supported and held up by words. Words are going to change it. Words are going to change your life, your situation. And so since we've been given dominion restored, then we need to take our authority with words. Now, what do I mean by that? When it comes to finances, we need to claim what we need and speak it in Jesus' name. Whatever that is. You need to decree what you need. If it's $1,000, you need to say, I command this $1,000 to come to me in the name of Jesus. And believe that your words are causing something to come. Where we unhook is that when we don't see it in a week or a month or a year, we start saying other things. We start doing other things. But we've been given dominion and authority here in this earth. Sweatless victory. Now, am I saying we shouldn't work? Am I saying you shouldn't work a second job? What I am telling you is be led. Because sometimes we think that's my job is my source. My job is where my need is going to be met. We need to be led by God as to what I'm doing, what I'm not doing. And since I've been given dominion and authority here in the earth, I can speak to those things that I need. And then at the same time, you need to decree, Satan, take your hands off my money. Take your hands off. Take your influence off. Take your authority off of what is mine. He has no right or authority over your money. Now, if you've given them the right by what we say and do, correct it, fix it. How do we do? Just say, Father, I'm sorry. I've released some words here. I'm going to correct that. I'm going to release different words. Begin to pick up and use the authority that you have. Now, here's another thing to think about. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 13.
and 14.
It says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? What's the next word? For, or to them, who shall be heirs of salvation. So, the angels, the ministering spirits, have been sent for us to minister for them. Let me ask a question. I know you know the answer to this, but I'm just going to answer. You know how God asks us a question? Let me ask this question. Do devils, demons, and evil spirits, do they influence people to do bad things, to do nutty stuff? Yeah, of course they do. Let me ask another question. Do you think it's possible that the angels, the ministering spirits sent to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation, do you think they might influence people to do good things? Yes. Oh, yeah. So I don't think it's outside or unscriptural to say we can call those ministering spirits and say, go out and cause that money to come in. How? They're not going to bring it in and just drop it out of heaven, but they're going to influence somebody to bring it into your life. Is that unreasonable? I don't think so. But see, what happens is we need to take our authority in Christ and use it. We are not subject to this world and the world system. We are Christians. We are new creatures in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What we have to do is exercise it. Do it. Don't give up. Begin to speak to those things in your life. We speak to the $80,000. God told us to do that. Let me share this. I don't want to be redundant because you can go back and listen to Wednesday night's tape. But let me just read this. How many were here? How many weren't here Wednesday? Okay, so you weren't here Wednesday. How many again? Let me see your hands. I'm not doing a check here. Trust me, I'm just getting an idea whether I should read this or not. I am not counting. But let me read this. This is something I was led to share this Wednesday. And I believe it helps us in our growth to hear these things. This is something that Brother Hagin shared years ago. And of course, this is in his book called Faith Food, Daily Faith Food. But he talks about how Jesus appeared to him in an open vision in 1959 in El Paso, Texas. Let me read this. He talks about how he heard someone walking down the hospital. This is the way he puts it. He said, I heard footsteps coming down the hospital corridor, so I looked up to see who it was. When I saw Jesus standing in the doorway, it seemed like the hair on my neck and head stood straight up. Goose pimples popped out all over my body. Jesus was wearing a white robe and Roman sandals. He was about 5'11 and weighed about 180 pounds. He pulled up a chair and sat by my bed. During the hour and a half that he talked with me, he told me This is what I didn't read this Wednesday. He said, he told me the number one way I lead all my children is through the inward witness. Not through visions. Yes, he does speak to us. But the number one way is the inward witness. And here, this was a couple of things that he shared. He calls this stoplight, and the next day is called green light. He said, as the Lord sat by my bedside, he said, I'm going to show you how the inward witness works so you won't make the same mistakes you've made in the past. You see me now sitting here talking to you. This is the prophet's ministry and manifestation, and a manifestation of discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is seeing into the spirit realm. You hear me talking to you. And I am bringing you through the vision a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. This is Jesus speaking to him. I'm telling you not to go to that church. And I forgot to read the first paragraph, but he was hesitant about going to this church. He tried to fill out and write a letter, and every time he tried, he just, and he just put it down. And he said he'd just tear it up and throw it in the wastebasket. So the Lord said, I'm telling you not to go to that church because you can see me. The pastor wouldn't accept the way you minister, but I'm never again going to lead you this way again. I am never again going to lead you this way. And he writes in parentheses, and he hasn't. From now on, I'm going to lead you by that inward witness you've had all the time. Now listen, you had a check, a hesitancy on the inside. And that is the way I'm going to lead you. A check, a hesitancy. The inward check is like a stop sign. It's like a red light way down on the inside. And so these are key things. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We are led by the inward witness. That is what Jesus said, the number one way I lead my children. So the one way is a hesitancy. This is the green light. Said a pastor once asked me, Brother Hagin, do you ever go to small churches? I replied, yes, I'll go anywhere the Lord says go. Then the pastor told me about his church and said, if God ever speaks to you about it, we want you to come. But I just dismissed his invitation. However, several months later, when I was praying about something else, this conversation came back to me. Then every day it kept coming back. Finally, about after the fourth day, I said, Lord, do you want me to go to that church? And the more I'd pray about it, the better I'd feel on the inside of me about accepting that invitation. This wasn't a physical feeling, but one I recognized in my spirit. Now, listen, he said, sitting by my bedside, Jesus referred to this. So he's in his presence. He referred to this experience. He said, Jesus referred to this. He said, the more you thought about it, the better you felt about it. He reminded me you had a velvety-like feeling in your spirit. That's the green light. That's the go-ahead signal. That's the witness of the Spirit to go. Now you see me, and I'm telling you to go to that church, but I'm never going to lead you to go anywhere again like this. From now on, I'm going to lead you like I do every Christian by the inward witness. And then this here, I'll close with this. He talks about abundant provision. He said, here's something else the Lord said to me during the vision I had in 1959. He said, this is the Lord, if you will learn to follow that inward witness in all areas of their life, I will make you rich. Who said this? He said, if you will follow the inward witness in all areas of your life, I will make you rich. And he said, I will guide you in all the affairs of life, financial as well as spiritual. I'm not opposed to my children being rich. I am opposed to their being covetous. And he writes, Brother Hagin says, some people think the Lord is interested only in their spiritual life and nothing else, but he's interested in everything we're interested in. God is a good God. So he goes on and says, the Lord has done for me exactly what he said he would do. He has made me rich. He said, am I a millionaire? No. That's not what the word rich means. Rich means a full supply. It means an abundant provision. I've got more than a full supply. If we'll learn to follow that inward witness, he will make every one of us rich. That means an abundant supply, more than you know what to do with. But it's going to take not getting over into what? The soulish realm. This is where the devil wants to play with you. And you want to listen down here. Sometimes we override this with this. I think I got to do this. I don't want to go there. But what does this say? The more you think about it, does it feel right? Even though it don't look right, does it feel right? Or when I think about it and I look at it, I have a hesitancy about this. Then you need to stop. That's a check. And God is saying, if you will follow that in every area of your life, he'll make you rich. Amen. He's not a respecter of persons. This is not about your education. This is not about who you are, what culture, what color, what pedigree you are, rich or poor. You are his child. You have a covenant with Almighty God.
Amen.
And he said, if you will follow me, I'll bless you. I'll tell you, the world is looking for this. They're waiting for the sons of God to manifest and really see that this God that we talk about cares for us, loves us, and wants to bless us. But we have to obey, we have to follow his leading, because otherwise, who gets the glory then? He won't. You take the glory. Look what I did. How about you? You're going to follow him. You're going to follow his inward witness. And I'll say it this way. I know we all endeavor to. Don't let past mistakes cause you to not, doubt and wonder. Take these thoughts and meditate upon them. What does it say? Try the Spirit. If you think it's a leading, follow it. If it comes up short, you go, whoop, that wasn't God. Don't get all upset and say, oh, I messed up. It wasn't God. Keep endeavoring to follow his leading. Where? The inward witness down here. And he will lead every single one of us into abundant prosperity. Right in the middle of lack. Praise God. I'm going to unhook for now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you get anything this morning? Anything? We don't clap. Just, I'm going to say this much. Sometimes we shout and we get excited, but I can tell you the thing that will sustain us is this. And the thing that will sustain you is this and the leading of the Holy Ghost, because when everybody else is failing, He'll lead you right into prosperity. He'll lead you where there's green pastures. And that's the time you can begin to share about your good God, about your wonderful God that has blessed you and provided for you. We can lay our head down at night and be absolutely convinced that my God will lead me and direct me in every area of my life, naturally and spiritually. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say sweatless victory, because I'm led by the Spirit of God, and His sheep know His voice, and a stranger I'm not going to follow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. You know, I think about this. Let me just share this. This doesn't have to be on the tape, but I remember in my early years, I liked to race cars. And I remember I was up in Canada. I was up in way up north, and they still have this race car driving school. I looked at it the other day. They have one in, I see myself behind the wheel. See. But they have a school out in Arizona, and they have one in Canada. And it's in way up north called Mont-Tremblant. It's about 100 miles north of Montreal. And they train Formula One drivers. They train open-wheel drivers. They train various things. Low speed, high speed, that kind of thing. And I remember I had gone through two sessions of school. I went up twice. I went to what's called a beginner introductory. And then I went to their high speed racing, which anything beginner was under 100 miles an hour. Everything high speed was well over 100, 120, and so forth and up at high speed. And you learn how to control a car at high speed, what to do. But I remember it like yesterday. I had it in my mind, I'm going this direction. I'm doing whatever it takes. I like this. I'm going after this. I wanted to be a race car driver. And I was good at it. And I remember hearing down here, I wasn't saved, way away from God. And I heard, don't do it. And I yielded to that and didn't know why. But I remember now, I heard, don't do it, and I had an uncomfortable feeling about it. But I wasn't saved. How many can reflect back in their life and remember things that God nudged, but you didn't know it was God? You just kind of, just something, so I'm going over here. Hook up with those experiences. That was God talking. That was God nudging. See, this isn't, you've had experiences. You've had this inward witness all along, but sometimes we didn't recognize it. Recognize it and begin to yield to it, even when your mind says, nah. Follow it. Because God is going to lead you into prosperity and wellness and wholeness. I've told you when I had this in the year 2000, in the shower, the Holy Ghost said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And I'm standing in the shower. I stop like this. I said, July, August, September, October, November. I said, 6 months. Huh. Really? I did. I just said, really? And so eventually, after 2 weeks, I went to the doctor. And the first doctor I went to was a specialist in the hospital. He was the top specialist in the hospital. But when I went, I was in pain. But something, I just said, nah. And I never went back. Now you would think that's crazy, and I didn't know where I was going to go, but I knew that wasn't right. And eventually I ended up seeing a nutritionist who in 2 weeks got this stomach turned around. 6 months, no pain, but it was following an inward witness. See, sometimes you could have a doctor sit across the table and go, if you don't get this, and blah, 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 and if you don't do this, you're going to die. And try to instill fear into you. What's the inward witness saying? What does it say? Does it feel right? Or does it just, nah? You may not know where you're going to go, but don't do that. Because I guarantee you, if I had followed through, I'd have been double doorknob dead. Because the nutritionist that I saw, I said to him, I said, Doc, how bad was this? He said, if you'd gone one more week, they would have opened you up. And I said, dead. Because it would have gone from there to there to there to there. And it would have just been one thing after another. Inward witness. Follow that inward witness. Whatever it is you're doing in life, follow it. If you're looking for a job, follow it. If you're looking for a house, if you're investing money, follow that. If it just... put it down. Put it down. God's got something better. I was on that Wednesday, but I sensed the same thing today. This is an area that needs to be developed more in our lives, is following the inward witness. Hallelujah.